hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everybody is having an absolutely wonderful day today. It's a fantastic day down here in Florida. We are staying busy, as always, at Health Masters, and we've just been kind of watching everything that's going on. I'm sure you guys saw yesterday the gigantic monstrosity of a stimulus package has now been passed, and they're going to see if Donald Trump's going to sign it. And, of course, again, we see that it's filled with unbelievably insane amounts of numbers for just about everybody, except the American working population. Ironically enough, everybody's been talking about that the American populace is going to get $500 billion and everybody's going to get a $1,200 check. And so I started doing some research this morning on this bill and finding out what really is going on, because as pretty much everybody knows, we are lied to on a regular basis by the mainstream media and by the U.S. government. This is just a fact. They've been caught with their hand in the cookie jar dozens of times. And so we know when they pass bills like this, there's always a massive ulterior motive, especially when you start seeing these kind of numbers, you know, $2.2 trillion bailout bill, basically. That's 12 zeros, by the way. That's 12 zeros. Now, what's ironic is I've read now this morning they're saying that it's a $1,200 check to adults and a $500 check to children. Now, what I'm reading is that it's a $1,200 check to adults that make less than $75,000 a year. And apparently, if you make more than $75,000 a year, from what I've been reading, it's unclear of what they're actually going to pay. It's going to be either prorated or much smaller. I'm not exactly sure yet. It's not really crystal clear. But ironically, even if you factor in roughly the 78 million children in the United States, along with the 252 million adults, it brings you to only about $340 billion in aggregate that they're actually giving to the American populace. $340 billion, and that's if they're giving every single adult in the entire United States a $1,200 check, and every single children, infant to 18, a $500 check. $340 billion. Now, if you run the numbers with basically what they're starting to say with, if you make under $75,000 a year, which is about 57% of the population, gets $1,200, and the rest of everybody essentially gets nothing, that only brings you to about $182 billion out of that entire budget that they are proposing. The rest of the money is basically going to hotels, casinos, cruise ships, you name it down the line. And one thing that I've noticed in this bill is they're giving these massive loan options to companies that were solvent before the crisis. And it also appears that these loan options are short-term loans. These aren't like a 20- or 30-year mortgage loan they're giving these businesses. They're going to offer them these short-term loans. And it appears that these loans are going to be very aggressively cited in the banker's favor. Imagine that. And so what more than likely is going to happen, and I'm not predicting anything, I'm just telling you my opinion of what it appears is a setup here, is all these stores that are being forced to close. Remember, these stores are being forced to close pretty much by government order now. They're not being left open because they want to be. They basically can't stay open, along with the populace being told they can't go anywhere. So theoretically, they're being shut down by the government. At the same time, the government's coming in and giving them a loan that in most cases, these businesses, once they reopen and they try to become profitable again and spool up the economy, whatever that is, they are now going to be saddled with a massive amount of debt that they have to pay back to the Federal Reserve, which more than likely, in not all cases, but in some cases, we have seen this repeatedly, the bankers will come in and seize the company by force once they cannot fulfill their loan covenant. And this is something that Dad and I have seen repeatedly, and this appears to be, in my opinion, a giant power grab by the Federal Reserve to come in now and pretty much take over the entire infrastructure and the economy of the United States by loaning it, then by controlling it, and then by owning everything that pretty much is in the entire country. But when I see a $2.2 trillion stimulus budget and I do the numbers and I find out at the worst, the American population is getting $180 billion out of that. At the best, it's $340 billion. You got to wonder what all this other money is being spent on, Dad, when you start seeing these kinds of numbers float around from the Federal Reserve again.
Okay, let's do a little bit of history here real quick. The Federal Reserve Bank are the ones that funded Jeff Bezos. They're the ones that funded, you know, all of these big quote-unquote entrepreneurs like Bill Gates. These people are cutouts. The banks come in and give them all this money. It's like the richest guy in China that we talked about a few weeks ago who basically was making $6 a week, and they gave him a $30 million loan. All right. They own these companies. They own these individuals. They own these folks that probably have over a $50 million net worth in most cases. Not in every case, but in most cases. And what they don't want is to have an individual homeowner or family member or citizen have the right to own an AC company or a plumbing company or a nutrition company or any company. They'd rather have it all controlled through a big conglomerate in which they can buy all of these companies together. We've seen that with propane distributors here in Central Florida. You know, it used to be 25 propane mom and dad pops and shops all over the place. Now there's like two. One of them's consolidated and bought up everybody else, and they jacked the price of propane from like $1.50 a gallon to $8 a gallon. You think, well, what the heck? Propane? Yeah, it's really expensive down here. Now, I found another company that's still independently owned, and I found the propane the other day there for around $1.80, $2 a gallon. And you think to yourself, well, why would they do that? Well, because it's what they do. You know, they'll take all the plumbing companies once they go out of business, and they'll consolidate them into a giant plumbing conglomerate. Same thing with electrical contractors and everything else. And then the bankers will own these major stores and create monopolies. This is what they always do, because the monopolies don't allow you to go somewhere else and get something done. It's like your electric monopoly. If they weren't heavily regulated by the government or the state government or the county government and where they operate, they could charge you anything they wanted for electricity, and you'd be forced to pay it. We saw that mess with Enron in California when they ran that big Ponzi scheme with Ken Lay, who, by the way, suddenly died in his jail cell right after sentencing. And now we hear that Harvey Weinstein basically has been, he basically now has coronavirus. He's already been pulled out of jail. So now he'll probably die and be cremated within 30 seconds. And then Harvey Weinstein will never testify again, kind of like Jeffrey Epstein, which I don't believe is dead either. And all of these guys are basically pushed into these third world countries or brought back into their main country, which would be Israel, because a lot of these guys are dual Israeli citizens, which have non-extradition treaties, and basically have surgery done, and basically you can't recognize them anymore if they even want to do that, my opinion. Now, but what's interesting about this stuff, we have to go backwards in time a little bit. Now, what I like about it is that, you know, we've kind of been, the Ted and Austin Brewer Show, we've really been a tip of the spear as far as exposing the Kabbalah, this incredibly evil Khazarian mafia, this group of international bankers that basically is a mafiosis group. It's part of the Jewish mafia, if you want to call them Jews. They're really not Jews. They're Satanists is what they are. You can't really say they're Jews. I mean, they say most groups like this are incredibly evil, and they're basically worshiping. And we read this passage yesterday out of Hosea chapter 4. You guys are going to read that on your own today, in which we talked about how angry God was with these guys and their priests, because they kept worshiping like temple prostitutes and Baal and Moloch and Asherah and all these crazy fertility rituals they were doing. We talked about that on yesterday's show, and we read it. I told you not to fuss at me. You can fuss somewhere else, but not at me, because I'm just reading what the Word of God says in the fourth chapter of Hosea. Now, another lady, her name is really Graceful. She's a really talented and really brave person who's been on YouTube for a while. She's finally starting to go out and talk about the Fed and the Babylonian money magic, and to tell the history of our financial system and all the pizzazz and what's going to happen to it. Now, Alexander Bruce basically did a summary of that in one of her things on Forbidden Knowledge, ForbiddenKnowledge.net, and I posted it on our website. And so let's talk about the Rockefellers, and let's talk about somebody who's even richer than the Rockefellers, because the Rockefellers were directly tied together with the Rothschilds. In fact, back in the early 1900s, the Rockefeller-Rothschild fortunes were so intertwined, it was literally impossible to tell the difference between the two of them. But let's talk about the Schiff family. This is really important. Ali, in order to speak about one of the richest families in America, who hardly anyone knows, you have to go all the way back to the Middle Ages to a Jewish ghetto, where the Schiff family and the most notorious banking family, the Rothschild family, lived under one roof and continued to do so for centuries, intermarrying and essentially acting as one family, which is where we meet Jacob Schiff, who was born in Frankfurt, Germany in 1847. At the age of 18, he set sail for New York, where he quickly made connections and moved up the ranks of the American banking industry. This is how they infiltrated the banking systems in order to get the Federal Reserve Bank in there in 1913. The Rothschilds now now American cousin, honored his fiance's financial skills and became a member of the Kuhn Lieb, the European Jewish investment firm, who has emerged as one of the most influential firms in the industrial era. This is the same group that Otto Kahn was involved with, who basically said that they control both sides of the narrative. All of these are tying together what I've told you before. Now, this Kuhn Lieb was one of the most influential firms in the industrial era, having financed top industrial tycoons, including Rockefeller. And this is matched with Standard Oil, so it's Rockefeller, Rothschild, Kuhn Lieb. Jacob Schiff married into the Kuhn Lieb, becoming a head of the firm, yet never managing, changing his name. And additionally, Schiff became the director of the National City Bank of New York, Wells Fargo, and the Union Pacific Railroad. Listen to this. In 1907, he launched the Jewish Immigrants Information Bureau to encourage European and Jewish immigration to the United States, successfully devised the Galveston Plan, which European organizations recruited Jewish individuals and transported them to Texas. While Schiff managed to change immigration laws for this one group, he actively suppressed immigrants from other ethnicities and nationalities. Also on his resume, Schiff was one of the major financiers, listen to me, of the Communist Bolshevik Revolution, which massacred millions of Christians across Russia. Now, remember, this is all tied together now with Samuel Untermeyer in bringing in the Scofield Bible. Okay, once these millions of Christians basically were destroyed and once established as a financial titan, this Rothschild cousin quickly implemented the family formula. Jacob Schiff, alongside his brother-in-law, Paul Warburg, waged a relentless campaign for an American central bank. This is before the Federal Reserve came in. This banking crusade included giving speeches in front of the New York Chamber of Commerce, advocating for currency reform, with Jacob Schiff delivering a number of these speeches, making his intent perfectly clear, and then they ended up using Samuel Untermeyer to blackmail Woodrow Wilson. The main opposition to the Fed conveniently kicked the bucket a year before it was created, right? There you go. Rival millionaires like Jacob John Astor, Isidor Strauss, and Benjamin Guggenheim sank along with the Titanic in 1912. Guys, I'm going to tell you this, and I haven't done a show on it in a long time, but you need to do the research on why the Titanic was sunk. Jacob Astor, Isidor Strauss, and Benjamin Guggenheim all stood against the Federal Reserve Bank. And in 1912, the Titanic sank. They were all on it. J.P. Morgan was supposed to be on board the Titanic, but he canceled the last minute. Okay? Couldn't go. In the penthouse suite, couldn't go. Why? He knew it was going to get sunk. And remember, the guy who was the captain of the Titanic was a high-level Jesuit. And he was basically, this was his last ship, this was his last sailing. He was retiring. Took the Titanic right into an iceberg field in full steam ahead and then sank it. And then the people, including these three guys, Jacob Astor, Isidor Strauss, and Benjamin Guggenheim, were refused to allow to get on lifeboats, which had never happened in naval history, guys. They had never said women first, children first. They set the lifeboats adrift. Some of them were third full. Some of them had a few people in them, while the men were kept off the boats by gunpoint. Now think about that, including Jacob Astor, Isidor Strauss, and Benjamin Guggenheim. They were not allowed to get on lifeboats because they basically opposed the Federal Reserve. And these guys were super rich. So they didn't want it there. With Congress eager to take leave for the Christmas holidays, they passed the Federal Reserve Act of 1913 on December 23rd, which called for the creation of a Federal Reserve Bank, a central bank of the United States that would oversee the nation's monetary policy, with the catch being that the Federal Reserve wasn't even part of the federal government, but a foreign banking system that doesn't even print a dollar bill. In 1933, Americans were required to deliver their gold to the Federal Reserve agent under the threat of criminal penalties. Meanwhile, the Schiff family maintained their status as the banking titans, but eventually branched out to build a media empire. Then the granddaughter of Jacob Schiff, Dorothy Schiff, the owner and publisher of the New York Post for nearly 40 years, also note, president of the Federal Reserve, Eugene Meyer, bought the Washington Post. Today, the Schiff family is as rich as ever and still highly connected, marrying into politics with a Schiff descendant wedding Vice President Al Gore's daughter. No joke. And while they've since divorced, you can see the other members of the family intermingle between politics and Hollywood. To include, here we have a pattern that the Schiff family helped establish, and they financially profit off of it ever since, making them one of the richest families in the world. In 1913, a criminal cartel took control of the nation's monetary policy. This is who they are. Respective families of the cartel bought and built media outlets as well as purchased politicians to push the U.S. into World War I. Now remember, all these guys are Kabbalists. Remember this. They're all Luciferians at the highest levels, and they're all part of the Sabotage Zivi network. Both sides of every war were then funded by the same bankers. Fast forward to the 20s. The war was over, and all the people with a little extra cash on hand got back into the financial market. Then the banks crashed as the Fed contracted the M1 money supply and prompted the Great Depression. Okay, this is what they did. They bought up the economy for pennies on the dollar, which is exactly what they're doing again right now. That's why I'm reading that. offering all of these businesses short-term loans that cannot be paid back so they can seize the property and assets. Then came World War II, which promoted to every American through the media channels, a banking cartel owned and operated a copy-paste copy of the same formula for the Korean War, Vietnam, Gulf War, Afghanistan, Iraq interventions, Syria, Yemen, and Libya. All of these are banker wars. Sold the American public through the media on false pretenses. Now, all of this stuff, guys, is very, very important that you understand who these guys are. This is all from the Babylonian Talmud. Okay, it was compiled starting in the 72 all the way up to year 500, including the Zohar. Okay, and this is who runs the planet. Okay, this is what you have to understand about the folks that are doing this and basically, you know, running the world. And this lady goes on to say, so anyway, if you already feel the ADL putting me on a list, but this had to be said, not from a place of hatred, but from a place of just hope for humanity and history. Now, this is something you've got to understand, guys, is that this whole mess is all from the fallen angels. In fact, she says in this article, the name Babylon can be translated to the gates of the gods, not God with a big G, but gods with a little g, whom some might call fallen angels. The Bible talks about Babylon a lot, calling it the dwelling place of demons, a place of death, slavery, and blood rituals. Compound interest is literally Babylonian mathematics. It's inscribed on ancient tablets. It's called usury. In other words, ancient Babylon was all about loaning you 50 if you paid them back 75. These practices yielded a society in which 80 to 90% of the population had nothing. A tiny fraction of the population had something, and 0.00001% of the people had everything. The majority of the population was composed of people who were working just barely to financially get by, basically just working to be able to afford to live. This is debt slavery. And oh, by the way, did I say Palestine or Egypt was all about loaning? $50 loans, you pay back 75? No, I didn't. So please spare me the accusations of anti-Semitism. This is, I'm reading her article. America is never supposed to be the home to this debt slavery system. The American founders talked about this a lot. America was intended to be an even playing field. In fact, Thomas Jefferson, I think Austin has that quote he's going to read today, actually talked about this if we ever gave the central banks over, and also read you the full quote. So, guys, this is something I'm quoting and I'm printing now. I'm putting it on the website. I'm publishing this. So I'm putting it up so you guys can read it. Guys, but this is the group. This is the Kabbalists. This is why I say it's always the same people. Now, I'm going to say this too. This isn't just the Jews. Don't pick on the Jews. Don't do that. This is the guys that practice the Kabbalah, who worship the snake in the tree. You know, I have friends of mine that are Jewish. They're not involved in any of this crap. All right? You can't throw them all into the doggone lump with this. What I'm saying is that these folks who run the world's banking systems are as corrupt as they could possibly get. They're unbelievably corrupt. And think about this. We've had hundreds of these top-level executives and these huge companies resigned in the last year. They knew this thing was coming. They knew the coronavirus was coming. All of the stuff that you're seeing right now, from the release of this virus, this pandemic, this bioweapon in China, to what's happening with all these closures and all these quarantines here in the United States, it was planned long ago to Bill Gates just a few months ago, back in October, having a coronavirus epidemic service, a simulation that he did at Davos. So all of this stuff is happening as these guys have planned it. Donald Trump, oh, we're going to have everything open by Easter. Today he goes back, oh, by the way, it looks like it's not going to be open by Easter. But what did he do? What did he do? For 24 hours, all the Christians rallied behind him and said, oh, my gosh, it's Donald Trump. It's Resurrection Sunday, and the country will be open. So he gave us all this hope, pushed the markets back up. People and the Christians said, oh, he's doing everything he can to promote Christianity, and he's not a Christian. His daughter and his son-in-law go to Shabbat, which practice Kabbalah. His daughter and his son-in-law, Jared, are Kabbalists. They worship Ein Sof if they're following the practices of the Shabbat. So this is what you've got to understand, guys. The entire planet now are in the clutches of this giant blood-sucking vampire squid of the international banking cartels. They caused World War One. They caused World War Two. They put Hitler in power. And then what happened is Hitler shook his chains loose and started printing debt-free currency in Europe in the late 30s and fought the entire war of World War II without any debt, because he basically made the German mark free and clear by the German people without having to issue it through usury. And this is why they hated him and destroyed Germany. And to this day, they're still destroying Germany. That's what, one of the reasons Angela Merkel destroyed Germany, because they want to make sure that DNA was permanently ever wiped out. Because, guys, they hate people who stand against them, who don't want to lick their boots and be slaves. Just thought I'd mention that, because these guys believe that they're superior. They believe they're the bloodline of Cain. See, they believe that Eve, Adam and Eve, that Eve had sex with Lucifer. This is what they believe. Just to give you a little tidbit of this is what they believe. I'm not saying I believe that. I'm saying what they said, what they believe. And that Cain was the bloodline of Lucifer himself. And they traced their lineage all the way back to this, calling themselves the Benigni Nephilim, the sons of the fallen, along with the other fallen angels breeding with women, as talked about in Genesis chapter 6, who were there before and again after the flood. Guys, this entire world has been run by a group of Babylonian cultists who are basically practicing ancient fertility Canaanite rituals, sacrificing children to Baal, Moloch, and Asherah. And I read you the quotes from that yesterday out of Hosea chapter 4. So, lest you think I'm making this stuff up. Austin, all right, there's my little intro today. What do you think, bud?
Well, no, that's really well said. I mean, this is something that has to go back. And the whole story with Titanic in 1912 and the Federal Reserve in 1913, that's really something everybody should read about. It really is. Because when I first heard that, I was like, no, that's so ominous. You know, that's so that there's no way. And then you start reading about it and the individuals who are involved. In other words, I think it was Herschel or Merkel Hershey was also real big with J.P. Morgan, and he was also supposed to be on the Titanic. He canceled at the very last minute, too, and he went on to build the Hershey Empire. So you got a lot of these guys that were really heavy hitters, that were all big globalists and real big Illuminati boys with the bankers that were supposed to be on that boat, didn't, and all of a sudden the boat goes ramrodding through an iceberg field at almost full speed. Nothing made sense about the whole situation. Also, too, one thing that a lot of people don't realize, that Titanic was the first cruise ship in modern history to have electromagnetic locks to be able to seal off bottom sections and floors of each ship. They'd never done this before in history. They have like a bar lock that would come down. These are electromagnetic locks. So when they locked, they locked. If you didn't have basically the key, there was no pulling the lever up and just unlocking it like a normal bay door back then. This was also something that was unprecedented. So I urge everybody to do your research and read about that and understand what really was going on. And yes, with Thomas Jefferson. Now, the quote that a lot of people hear about that I'm about to say here in a second, there's lots of controversy whether or not this entire quote was intact, whether or not it was basically converted, whether or not it was basically taken out of context, whether or not they spliced it together, because there are multiple places that certain parts of this quote were found. Part of them were from his retirement papers. Part of them was from an 1802 letter to the Secretary of Treasury. There was another one they referenced to basically Jefferson's opinion on the constitutionality of a national bank in 1791. But all in all, the context of what he said in his opposition to central banks has been long clear and long evaluated to be very, very real. And essentially the quote that a lot of people hear, and it's loosely quoted, and I think there's definitely a lot of interpretation to some of the stuff he said and making it more modern day. But as it goes, it says, if the American people ever allow private banks to control the issue of their currency, first by inflation and then by deflation, the banks and corporations that grow up around them will deprive the people of their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered. I believe that banking institutions are more dangerous to our liberties than standing armies. The issuing power should be taken from the banks and restored to the people who it properly belongs. Now, again, like I said, don't send me emails and say, well, inflation and deflation were not really used terms back then in the 1800s. I got that, okay? I understand that there's context of this that have been taken out with Jefferson, but you can read, and I have numerous times, different papers and different articles and letters that he has written, and he was 100% diametrically opposed to a central bank. He knew what it was going to do. Remember, he had already been from England. He already saw what happened when you have an oligarchy, when you essentially have a banking ruling cartel that controls the money and controls the policy, and the people are just mere peasants. He already saw that. He witnessed it. And he knew that they were coming over here to take control of the United States again. Because remember, King George, he wasn't okay with them doing the whole colony thing over here. Everybody's understand that. History isn't really clear on that because most kids aren't taught this anymore in school. It's quite troubling to me as well. I talked to a friend of mine the other day, and we were kind of laughing in almost an ironic standpoint on how many people turn around now and they're talking about, oh my gosh, I don't know what my children are going to do not being in school for a month. I don't know how to watch them. I don't know how to teach them. And, you know, they're going to miss so much school and education in a month. First off, if that's you or you're thinking that or you have friends thinking that, understand that's a complete and total manipulated lie from the mainstream media. Flat out. Just be clear on that. The school systems are not there to educate your children anymore. They're there to indoctrinate your children. They're there to teach them exactly what they want to teach them, to push them into the communist mindset. That's why they're teaching kids that it's okay to engage in homosexual behavior when you're 6 and 7 years old. It's okay to pretend you're a walrus one day and you're a girl the next day and you're a boy the next day. This is all normalized in the public school systems. How about instead of people flipping out, they actually teach their kids for a change? How about they teach them how to read and write cursive? Oh, how about they teach them how to read a real clock? That concept still blows my mind that children, majority of children, I think I was reading the other day, like 60 to 70% of teenagers, 19 and younger, do not know how to read a regular clock, a true hand clock. They don't know how to read it. They literally do not know how to read it. They'll look at it and go, I don't know what that means. I don't know. What time is it? They don't know how to do it. So how about you teach your kids how to read a clock or read and write cursive? Or how about memorize their rights, learn the Constitution, read the Bill of Rights, learn how to cook for once instead of going to McDonald's, check the oil in the car, do maintenance, learn how to change a tire, do laundry, teach others with respect. That's a concept that seems to be going out the window right now as far as everybody's just lost polite. Just nobody's polite at all anymore. I've noticed that lately with everything. How about deep clean something, balance a checkbook? Oh, hey, how about teach them gun safety, taking guns apart, cleaning them, putting them back together? Oh, maybe using first aid, how to use a tourniquet. I could go on and on and on and on and on. But instead of sitting there complaining about how the communist indoctrination camps aren't going to teach your children how to be good little peasants, how about you actually teach them the truth about what's going on? How about you teach them really what happened in the Revolutionary War? Oh, how about you teach them what really happened in the Civil War. Ooh, I'd step on some toes with that one. Instead of just the lies that have been permeated through the general populace into believing the entire Civil War was based solely on slavery and nothing else. These are things that people could be talking about and looking at right now. So just something to think about. Also, too, it's ironic as well. Dad brought this up the other day, and I've been doing some more research on it. I find it vastly odd how the cell phone usage in China has gone down. And Dad brought this up the other day, and I've been kind of reading about it more and more. And what's ironic is for the last, like, 10 years straight, the cell phone, the amount of individuals using cell phones in this country of China has gone up, like, nonstop, up, 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 has not dipped down. Heck, just in February of last year, it was just at 1.5 billion people. Well, ironically enough, if you look back to just the end of last year, it was over 1.6 billion people. And now to currently, it's back down to 1.57 billion people. It's dropped 21 million users in just 3 months. Now, I'm not coming out and saying that all these people have died. I'm not saying that at all. You have context of people that they can't pay their bills, they're stuck at home. But 21 million people, the largest drop of cell phone usage in pretty much modern Chinese history? Nobody's talking about it at all. Just thought I would bring that up. Something very, very strange is going on. Also, too, in other news, they're saying now with this absolute this pixie dust of a stock market right now where we even have jobless claims has gone through the roof today, and they're saying, oh, it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter. The Fed's basically here to save us. They're going to dump in $4 trillion into the market. At the same time now, we see that as 47,000 stores have shuttered across the U.S., virtually all retailers now are discussing stopping payment on rent. This is something that's going to have a serious ripple effect in the economy. As most people know, even before the coronavirus pandemic hit the U.S. economy and took it to a halt, brick-and-mortar retail sector was facing a huge apocalypse in the real world. A lot of this was because of the giant CIA-funded Amazon has been taking over with their online retailer and company, which I've told you before, I never support Amazon whatsoever. Everybody has their own preference on what they do, but Amazon is a giant retail monopoly. They've continued to put thousands of companies out of business, including mom-and-pop stores all across the country. But now what's going on is, as cash flow is dwindling and a lot of these companies are not bringing in any revenue at all, Mattress Firm and Subway have now just put out formal letters basically to all of their landlords that they rent from these companies and these shopping malls and so forth, basically saying the decline in revenues forced store closure and we are requesting a temporary suspension of all rent, period, all across the country. Now, the issue with this is if the landlords refuse to budge, it's unclear how this mutually assured destruction is going to conclude in anyone's favor. The fiscal stimulus package being considered doesn't really even address rent prices. All it's really doing is giving these giant bailouts to these huge companies, and then they're offering these short-term loans to companies that are basically out of business right now. And as Dad said before, all that's going to do is put a Band-Aid on a sucking chest wound. That's all it's going to do, guys. This $1,200 check for people that make less than $75,000 a year, guys, that'll barely cover a lot of people's mortgage, $1,200. That's nothing. But yet, the other $1.7, $1.8 trillion of the bill is going to go out to bail out all these massive companies that, again, aren't going to keep supporting the United States economy because they're still going to shut down. And they're saying now that this is the issue, because if these retailers go into essentially these contract clauses with these landlords and they break them, the court system could very well get flooded with millions of these disputes between tenants and landlords. And if the government doesn't step in any form or fashion, it could get incredibly ugly. And again, this is something that nobody is talking about. And now, of course, this isn't surprising to me. Yesterday, the chair of the FDIC has now released an astonishing video asking Americans to keep their money in the bank. You can't help but hysterically laugh at this. And she goes on, she comes out and say, Jelena McWilliams, the FDIC chairman, in this video she released, if you guys saw it, there's this soft piano music playing in the background, real relaxing. She's standing there with an American flag and she goes, your money is safe in the banks. The last thing you should be doing is pulling your money out of the banks, thinking it's going to be safer somewhere else. I kid you not, that's literally what she said verbatim in this thing. And I just started laughing. I was like, man, that right there makes me want to go right back to the bank and take more money out. Oh, that's right, they shut down my bank in Auburndale. It's not even open anymore. That's right. You can't take your money out of the banks hardly anymore. Guys, if you haven't seen the writing on the wall of what they're about to do to the entire economy and what they're about to do with the banking sector, I promise you, they've already done it. Most banks that are open around my area, at least in Central Florida, they've already put capital controls on withdrawals. They're only letting like $2,000 or $3,000 in cash withdrawal at one time. That's it. They're already going to start putting capital controls on wire transfers. That's coming next. And then what they'll start doing is they'll start dropping the amount lower and lower and lower, just like they did in Greece. Remember the giant meltdown in Greece? What was it, 10, 12 years ago? They came in and said, you know, you can pull out $300 or whatever the equivalent was in their funds back then. $300 was all you could take out of the bank per week. That was it, $300, because everybody was doing what is known as a bank run. Because remember, these banks rely on your cash to rip you off. Remember that. Just understand that. They loan out 40-to-1 ratio is what they're allowed to do. They can take, say if somebody has $1 million in savings in their bank account in actual cash, they can loan $40 million in loans at whatever interest they want to charge, 3, 4% mortgages, 5, 6% secure loans, doesn't matter. $40 million in loans off your $1 million. It's called fractional reserve banking. Most people don't even understand it. So when you start going in, or say the general neighborhood, the general area, starts going in and they start taking out $10,000 a day out of their savings account, $10,000 is the most you can take out of your bank account without filling out an IRS form. Just to let you know that. If you take $10,000 in one penny, they have to fill out a form, and you have to tell them what you are going to do with your own money, and they have to send that to IRS. Just a little tidbit trick there. And so if every single person that's, you know, even has some savings in the bank starts taking out $10,000 out of the bank, $10,000, well, guys, it doesn't take long. 10 people, that's 100,000. 100 people in the neighborhood, that's $1 million in cash right out of the bank. Most times they don't even have that in actual cash. Well, guess what happens? The bank has to call all those notes in with a fractional reserve. That $1 million that the neighborhood just took out in one day, meaning those $40 million in loans have to be covered in some way, shape, or form that they have out now with their fractional reserve. They understand that what they have done with their money magic is what Dad and I have always called it. They're magicians of money. They make money out of nothing. It's pixie dust. They take $100 and they wave their magic wand over it and it becomes $1,000. And they wave their magic wand over and it becomes $1 million. This is what they do. It's funny money. It's not real. It doesn't exist. This is why the derivative market is going to literally implode the entire economy once it actually catches. This is why the Federal Reserve is pumping $4 trillion into the stock market right now and mortgage-backed security buy-ups, T-bills, and everything else they're buying up right now. They're doing this because they know if they let it do what it was doing a week and a half ago, the entire stock market was going to be essentially at ground zero within a couple weeks. Because remember, the value of money at any point in time, or every point in time in every single economy, always reaches its paper value of cost production. What I mean by that is you have a $100 bill. $100 bill only costs the Treasury 13 cents or the Federal Reserve 13 cents to have the Treasury print it. 13 cents. But then they give that money out at $100. They charge $100 to the United States to have it out. So that bill that costs them 13 cents is now valued at $100. Why? Because they set its value to $100. In every single economy that's ever collapsed, that $100 bill always reverts back to its actual cost of production, which is basically zero, in this case of 13 cents. That's where the dollar value will eventually be on a $100 bill if they let it go into free fall. The problem is now what they're doing is we're going to run to massive hyperinflation when they start dumping all this funny money into the economy. So, yes, Jelena McWilliams, when you come out with comments that say you need to leave your money in the bank because it's the safest place to be, I hysterically laugh at you because the only point in time the FDIC chairman is going to come out and say that nationally is because they're absolutely terrified of a bank run in the United States because they know of what is going on in the country, Dad, and the vast majority of people are too blind to see it. Not our listeners, not a lot of the patriots, not our customers, but that's why we bring this stuff up on the show to at least try to wake up as many people as we can.
And this is why we always bring it back to who's doing it. If you can,
yep.
And it's so funny. I talked to a guy. I've got to be real careful now because you guys know who this person is, and I'm not going to tell you his name. He has a website, and they post a lot of news stories on the website, but they never put stories in there about the Federal Reserve Bank and all this other kind of stuff. And you know, and I asked him once. I said, "Why do you do this?" And he basically said, "Oh, that's just old stuff. That's old news. That's old news. We have to talk about that." And I'm like, "No, it's not. It hasn't gone away, and it isn't fixed. So I was going to talk about that." Well, you know, to me, I believe that somebody had a little chit-chat with that boy because he puts news stories on there that cannot be substantiated. It's all fear porn, almost the entire website. And, I mean, it's some awful stuff. And, you know, and he's never talks about what we're talking about today. I mean, like, never. Like, ever. Like, never brings it up. You know, and so when you finally get to the point of realizing what's happening, you got to call it out. If you're going to be honest with the listeners, and I love you guys, and I'm honest with you guys. I always tell you guys the truth because I don't lie. I always tell the truth anyhow, so that makes it real easy for me. But, you know, sometimes the truth may be a little abrasive, or I try not to make it abrasive. I try to be as nice as I can, but it just is what it is. But John F. Kennedy, he kind of laid it all out right before they killed him. Now, remember, there were multiple reasons they killed him. They killed him over this quote I'm fixing to read. They killed him over Roswell because he wanted to have full disclosure on what was going on with Roswell and the alien agenda. He wanted to have a national currency that wasn't Rothschild back. Executive Order 11110 was going to take care of that. He was also running his mouth to Marilyn Monroe about stuff he shouldn't have been talking to her about. And he wanted to get rid of the CIA, and he wanted to get us out of Southeast Asia because he knew it was all about the drug money and the mafia OSA groups that were involved with running the drugs out of Asia from the Cambodian Triangle to bring heroin and drugs into the United States that had been set up with Lucky Luciano back in the 40s, 20 years earlier. So he was trying to get rid of all of that mess. But here's one of his quotes that I love. The very word secrecy is repugnant to a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies. The secret oaths and the secret proceedings, by the way, sidebar, they're not even letting the public read this giant $2 trillion bill yet. Just thought I'd mention that. Secrecy.
Yep.
Our way of life is under attack. Those who make themselves our enemy are advancing around the globe. No war ever posed a greater threat to our security. If you are awaiting a finding of clear and present danger, then I can only say that the danger has never been more clear and its presence has never been more imminent. For we are opposed, listen, for we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has constricted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no rumor is printed, and no secret is revealed. He was killed right after this because he was going to expose them. Another quote says that he's going to expose them in his presidency, who and what they are. And, of course, you get these quotes down. They like to obfuscate these two and only give you parts of them. But, guys, this is one of the reasons that John F. Kennedy was killed. It's just sad to me because he's my favorite president since I was alive. By the way, Dr. Weirdo Fauci now is issuing a stark warning that coronavirus will come back in cycles and now become seasonal as 252 Americans die in a day and the death toll shoots past 1,000. By the way, we have tens of thousands of people die of the flu virus every single year. Just thought I'd mention that. While Trump softens his desire to reopen the whole country by Easter. Yeah, they got the boy back on his choke chain. You're not going to tell people you're going to do that because we're not going to do it. Oh, by the way, remember the American, the hedge fund guy that I talked about the other day who was screaming and yelling on TV talking about how bad everything was, Bill Ackman? I gave you his whole group and what he did and where he was from. He basically made $2.6 billion was a B, from placing a $27 million short bet 13 days ago the coronavirus pandemic would cause a market crash. So he gets up on top of his little platform, starts squawking and bawling and yelling and screaming about what's going on, and he throws it a $27 million short because they know he publishes his information, and he ends up generating $2.6 billion in profit. Just thought I'd mention to you how these guys work. And again, Donald Trump begins to water down a commitment to reopening the country by Easter, admitting that some areas will not qualify, and promising to ask Tony Fauci for advice. Oh, yeah, they got to make sure they keep him on the chain. And now, don't get me wrong, Donald Trump likes to be on teleprompters. Donald Trump likes to tell people what he's told to tell them. He does, and he delivers these speeches really well. The problem is, you get him off teleprompter, he wants to argue with people and can't give the American population any kind of hope rather than just putting down and insulting the person who asked him a question. By the way, America's on its knees, according to the Daily Mail. Unemployment soars to 3.3 million. It's 3 million. 3 million, guys! New claims are filed in just 1 week, four times the previous 1982 record, as coronavirus cripples the economy. Wow. We may well be in a recession, Fed Chair Jerome Powell says. Coronavirus will dictate reopening of the economy and shrugs off and the criticism from Donald Trump claiming the president doesn't factor in central banks' thinking. Well, here we go. It's just, you know, I could just go on and on. This is all from the Daily Mail. I'm going to stop because it's just whatever. Congratulations, America. Gosh. Trump salutes the Senate after it unanimously voted a 96-0 to pass a $2.2 trillion coronavirus bill to send $1,200 to many Americans after days of deadlock. But most won't even see their money until the end of May. Wow, that's kind of funny. April, May, 8 weeks, nobody gets paid. And something Austin talked about just a few minutes ago about the collapse of the commercial real estate market. The commercial real estate market was already in a giant bubble along with the bubble of everything that was the stock market.
Oh, yeah.
And now this commercial real estate market is collapsing faster than a bunch of dominoes. And the housing market is going to be soon to follow, guys. Even though we have low interest rates right now, How are people going to get houses if they don't have a job? Really important you understand that. Now, one more thing I want to talk about again before we change topics. We're talking about coronavirus again. We've got the shipments coming in. Hopefully, you'll get here today or tomorrow with the vitamin C. Some of you guys have back orders that are still pending. We'll get them all out tomorrow on Saturday. Just pray that our vitamin C, this shipment, this is the last one that we know we can get, guys. Both of our suppliers are out of raw materials now. Just pray that the shipment gets here and it's not stopped via transport via the interstates, and we'll get them to you as quickly as we can. I'm going to continue to leave the 6 units for the vitamin C probably through the weekend, and it's probably going to, we're going to have to, we'll burn through most of the inventory at that point. We're going to have to restrict it again. But I want you guys, the listeners to the show, to be able to access the vitamin C at 6 units per person until after the weekend. After that, we're going to have to change it. But I want you to know something, guys. I love you. And, you know, we're in this together. And Austin and I, as long as we're allowed to be on the air after shows like today, it's kind of a – they really don't want us telling you what we told you today. But we're going to do everything we possibly can to continue to support you and pray for you. I pray for you guys this morning again. And I pray that all of you guys right now that are in isolation, that are basically listening to the show, who basically put it in quarantine, I pray for companionship for you. And I know a lot of you actually really enjoy listening to the show, and we really enjoy doing the show because it gives you an outlet, because we're friends. We are. I mean, you're my family, and you're my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I want to thank you guys from the bottom of my heart for supporting Health Masters. I mean, we're in this thing together. I mean, we really are. And you guys are absolutely awesome, and I consider it a privilege and an honor to pray for you every day. And just remember, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And guys, the D3, the potassium iodide, the vitamin C, these are the things that our government should be teaching you right now about health. They're not. And the reason they're not, because the pharmaceutical petrochemical industry, which is owned by the Rothschild banking cartels, again, this mafia, you could call it the doggone, you could call it the Food and Drug Administration, petrochemical, you know, pharmaceutical mafia, if you wanted to. I mean, they're all linked together through lobbying groups and to basically ask some of outright bribes and blackmail and all the other stuff they do, and all this stuff they did with this family that pushed all of these opiates into the United States and got so many people addicted to heroin and Oxycontin. I mean, these are the guys that run the planet through their lobbying groups. Again, the same groups we talked about earlier today. But listen to me, guys. Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We can commit our plans to the Lord. One of Trump's preachers was saying that God was having judgment on the planet. Let me tell you how this judgment works as far as in the New Testament. God doesn't want to kill anybody. He doesn't do that. You know, this isn't the Old Testament where everybody gets sucked out into an earthquake. What happens is God just lifts his protection off us. And Satan wants to rob, kill, steal, and destroy. And he'll do all kinds of things to the people of this country. Why? And I'm going to say this to you guys. There are going to be pockets of us that are going to be protected because we're in covenant with the Most High God, and we really believe in Jesus, and we really believe, and we've given our lives over to the great I Am, the God of the Old Testament, the God that we've created us. But guys, the vast majority of the people in the United States don't do that anymore. They've basically given themselves over to secular humanism and to hedonism and all the stuff that's being pushed through the Frankfurt School by the same group, the bankers, that we talked about many times. And guys, this is why it's so important that we can continue to pray for each other and to build each other up. Because, guys, we're getting a reckoning right now in the United States. And it's going to be a rough one for the United States to deal with. And I hope and I pray we come out the other side. And I hope and pray that other countries, including China or Russia, don't decide to come into our eastern or western borders at this point, which I don't think is going to happen because we've been so weakened from this. Guys, please continue to pray for the United States. Please pray that the people of the United States will fall to their knees, fall on their faces, and repent for what they've done. Guys, we let grown men use the bathroom with little girls, and we said it was okay. We let abortion come into the country, and we said it was okay, and killed 60 million children. We've let the most unbelievable perversion come into our school systems, remove the Word of God from our school systems, and we all said it was okay. Now, there are a lot of us who said it wasn't okay, and our voices are still out there like this show and like a lot of you guys who listen. But guys, the vast majority of the American population is completely and totally capitulated to this new world order and to their sick, perverted agenda. So just continue to pray for the country that it repents. Austin, what do you think, bud?
That was extremely well said, and a lot of that has been done due to this political correctness I mean, that's it. I mean, the political correctness has slowly crept in, like a virus. That's really what it's been. It's been like a political correct virus that slid in now. And so many people have become complacent and basically have held their tongue and have gone just to the side and not said anything because they don't want to offend anybody. I mean, I've been hearing about, and I don't know, I've never seen it. I don't have Netflix. I only have internet right now where I'm staying. But I've heard this, there's a TV show now that's been like all over Netflix. I think it's like Tiger Zoo or Tiger World or something. And it's basically about a gay dude that has two gay husbands and they have a zoo with like 200 something tigers that they manage. And they're like all basically just a bunch of degenerates running around all the time. And it's been like the number one show on Netflix, I found out the other day. It's been all over social media. People are talking about it. They think it's the funniest thing. And I just kind of sat back when I finally, you know, read some stuff about it. And I was like, wow, this is what the American populace wants to watch when they're self-quarantined. This is what we find entertaining now. These are the shows that we really think are just so grand, great, wonderful, about a dude and his two husbands basically running around doing drugs, taking care of tigers at a zoo. I mean, you can't even make some of this stuff up, guys, and that's exactly right. You know, now is not the time to be doing all this stuff and watching all this stuff and acting like this. Now's the time to be trying to focus on God and Jesus and preparing your family and getting things right and making sure everything's covered. And again, like I said earlier, teaching your kids some wholesome benefits, some real true trades, some things that they can actually use. I mean, take them out of your sprinkler brace. Go teach them how to change out hunter heads in the backyard. Teach them how to read a clock. I mean, I keep saying that, but that bothers me so much. I don't know why, but I never thought when I would get older that would even be something that was even optional, that children would be able to go through an entire K through 12 and not know how to read a clock. It just bothers me. I don't know why. It just really bothers me. But again, be prepared for a lot of this stuff and take time. And that's why I said before, play some board games with your kids. Teach them how to play some cards. Teach them how to do different things in the house. Just teach them these things. Also, too, in other news, this is interesting. They're saying the White House warns Americans to self-quarantine after they've left New York City. New York City is a hot spot, and we are urging everyone that leaves New York City to basically self-quarantine. As I've told you guys before, we're getting still 190 flights from New York every single day into Florida. They said New York residents have been leaving in droves to Florida, North Carolina, and Long Island to escape the disease. I guess nobody's told anybody. This is kind of newsflash. The incubation period on this stuff is 14 to 21 days. If nobody's figured this out yet, we're just warming up. New York should have already been grounding flights. If you want to move around the state of New York, that's between the state. But they should have already grounded flights. Having this explode in New York and now allowing people to literally go all over the country and spread out like another virus carrier is astronomically insane to me. I don't even understand it. So I can pretty much guarantee you down here in Florida, I try to be positive, I try to be prepped for anything, and I generally am. And I can tell you right now, in 2 to 3 weeks, it's highly probable that Florida is going to turn into New York with the amount of people that we have coming down here from New York, because they don't want to be up there, and their state that they basically get to deal with now, they want to come down here and spread the virus even further because they couldn't deal with it up there. These are the consequences that happens in these big cities. People choose to live there. There's consequences to it. When you have people live that close to one another, there's no other way around it. So just something to be aware of. Also, too, in L.A. County now, the sheriff is now ordering all gun stores be closed. All gun stores be closed. And now L.A. mayor is lashed out at non-essential stores that refuse to close. He basically has come out now and he said their behavior is irresponsible and selfish, and that he said the Department of Water and Power will shut off their water and power to their business if they do not comply with the stay-at-home ordinance. He said the easiest way to avoid a visit is to follow the rules. And essentially, if you do not follow the rules, we're going to completely shut down your business. Now, I don't know what all is non-essential business under. They pretty much said supermarkets and pharmacies and, you know, and grocery stores are pretty much the only things that can stay open. But guys, understand, there's a whole nother play being put behind the scenes right here with a complete and total tyrannical grab for power in this country right now to see how far they can take the American populace into the deep, dark hole of tyranny, and if we are ever going to push back or if we're just going to sit back idly by. Ironically enough, a rapper named MIA, I'm not really sure who that is, sent out a big tweet. Apparently she's got a huge following on Twitter. Sent out a Twitter yesterday and said she would refuse to take any government mandated vaccine or microchip. This is great because when you start having big individuals that have followings on Twitter to this level, it's really good to get information out there. I pulled up her account and she has over 650,000 followers on Twitter. I mean, that's over 500,000 followers. And she said, if I have to choose the vaccine or chip, I will choose death. She came out recently and discussed how she had her three-month-old son was in the hospital for 3 weeks getting pumped with antibiotics because he had a massive fever and sickness due to three vaccines that were given all at the same time. She goes on to say, yeah, in America, they made me vaccinate my child against my will before the school admission. It was the hardest thing to not have a choice over this as a mother. I never want to feel like that again. He was sick for 3 weeks. The docs had to pump him full of antibiotics just to reduce the fever. If I have to choose a vaccine or chip, I will choose death. I have to give her kudos. I don't know her background or what she really is involved in, so I can't say for that. But putting that information out when you have that big of a following on Twitter, I have to give her a standing ovation because that is exceptional. Sad part is her career is probably pretty much over now in the music industry. But regardless, she got this information out there. And even if she just woke up a couple thousand people to understand what's going on, that is incredible. So again, guys, please speak your truth, get your information out there, speak your mind, and talk about what's really going on right now. And please stay prepared, but also live in a state of peace and sound mind and understand Jesus has our back on this. And if we prepared, then we know what we have to do to continually stay through this and stay prepped. So thank you guys for the support. If you need anything, healthmasters.com. We're here to stay. We will stay here as long as we physically can. We already told you that. There's already been reports of the, you know, shuts down in Florida. We're basically licensed as a grocery store down here in Florida, so we are essential personnel. We'll keep our store open. We will keep our supplements going, and we will keep our shipments going as long as we physically can. So thank you for the support. If you need anything, healthmasters.com. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.
We love you guys.